This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
And now to Joy, we welcome the leader of the Reason Party and the representative for the Northern Metropolitan seat of Victoria, Miss Fiona Patten.
Good morning.
How are you going?
I'm really well, really well.
Look, before we get going on the whole bit of politics, I want to talk about you as Miss Cover Girl. On the Domain Review. Look, and good article there.
I know, great photo.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was, it was a real honour, and it was funny because I was on the cover in 2015, just after I was elected. Like, what the hell is this woman from the sex party? And they took a photo of me in a swimming pool. So I've moved up in the world. I was wearing some rather fancy colours and patty. And, it was great. But I'm also in Women's Weekly. And much to my delight, I was mentioned in a coroner's report yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I know. So I think that's actually the highlight of
actually, you're the one politician we don't want to see in the coroner's report.
That's right.
You're the one we're happy to keep here.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the very few politicians that's been mentioned in a coroner's report that is alive.
That is alive, yeah. Well, let's just keep breathing because we've got an election to go through yet.
Yes, indeed.
Now, I saw you on ABC News last night talking about Melbourne Anglican Bishop Hollingsworth.
Yes.
What's happened there?
There's been a number of victims of sexual abuse from the Anglican Church who have been calling for his resignation. And they've been calling on the Victorian Anglican Diocese to stand Bishop Hollingsworth down after the very scathing findings of the Royal Commission that said that basically he covered up child sexual abuse and he covered up crimes.
And because of that, he lost his role as Governor General for Victoria. So it's not like he was removed out of Victorian politics. Yeah,
that's right. And he has and in 2016 he did apologise for it, but I think the church refusing to stand him down. And I've been in the email loop, but every day these victims have been, or survivors have been, writing to the Archbishop of Melbourne, Archbishop Fryer, asking him to stand down or asking him to investigate and asking him why they won't stand him down. Right. And they've received no response, and this is for nearly 3 months. In actual fact, it's 18 months since they last asked.
If we've got a federal government that's going through the whole freedom of religion at the moment, do you think this gives these religious people the right to think, well, I can hang on now because, society yet hasn't attacked us, or we're not, they're still giving special privileges above everybody else?
I know. Wouldn't it be great if freedom of religion meant that religious organisations were treated the same as everybody else?
Correct. Well, freedom of religion,
I would have thought that would have been freedom and equality.
Which also, freedom of religion, I've read it, states that I have the right to not believe in religion. So that's also freedom of religion is written in there, the right to not believe in a religion, and your religion's no better than my non-religion.
Yeah. And I think with Bishop Hollingsworth, and I think with the Anglican Diocese, it's more about not just justice being done, but justice being seen to be done. So, if they have learnt nothing out of this Royal Commission, that at least an act of contrition should be what they're doing.
Why are they so resistant? What is going on? What is this resistance to acknowledging their behaviour and their crimes?
It's so baffling, isn't it?
The rest of us would be put in jail for it.
Well, look, if you were a teacher or a doctor or a police officer or any other leader in our community, you would go to jail for hiding sexual abuse.
Well, now, failed to report any abuse.
That's absolutely right. So the fact that they sit outside the law, and the fact that they still want to, and the fact that they are still defending their own rather than listening to the victims, it beggars belief that they have learned nothing from the Royal Commission. They have learned nothing from the Victorian inquiry into institutionalised abuse.
Oh, this is all around the world. I mean, it's happened here in Australia, but this happens in religion. Well, I mean, organised religion is on the decrease. You think the last thing they'd want to do is try and protect an organisation that's dying. Open up your doors and show that we're willing to change, because, spirituality is very important. Ever how you find that, whether you find it in a church or you find it down at the disco at 2 a.m. I mean, that's your spirituality.
Yeah, that's right. But it makes their apologies very hollow.
When he's still getting his $300,000 pension.
Well, that's the Governor General.
And from the Governor General.
I know the survivors yesterday. Well, the survivors have been calling this for some time, but they wrote to the Prime Minister and said that he should also lose his pension, which is, some $300,000 a year plus a very nice office in Collins Street. Now, Bishop Hollingworth is in his 80s. You know, if he retired now, and I've had lots of letters from people defending him, so I accept that he has done, for a civil society, he has acted in good ways and he has helped people. However, he did cover up sexual abuse, which is still, you know, totally scarred and pained the survivors, and I think he should stand down and recognise that him staying in that position is continuing to cause pain.
But what we have learnt, that it's not just the victim, the survivor, let's just say the survivor. We know now that affects the whole family circle.
That's
whether
right.
it's your parents, whether you're married, whether it's your children.
Yep.
I just think we've got to understand now it's not just affected one person. I mean, it's affected one person terribly, but it affects the whole community.
That's
so
right.
You can't justify that you've done good things for the community while you've ripped it. Look, we should change the story. We can go on about this,
these
before religious
we do, while
people.
While we're on religious organisations, you did introduce that bill a while ago into the Victorian Parliament calling for them to pay taxes.
That's right.
How's
that didn't get a great response. I mean, it got a great response from the community, but certainly the politicians are still too frightened. And, you know, this is, again, like the Attorney General, where there's been recommendations that it must be imperative that religious organisations report child abuse, even if that information comes from the confessional. And even our Attorney General in Victoria is still going, well, we'll think about that. I'm thinking, what's there to think about?
It shouldn't just stop there. It's got to be the whole lot. If you're hitting your wife, your partner, it's time that we all stood up as a community and pointed that stuff
exactly.
out. Like, let's just...
That's right. And I think that my Fair Charity Bill, if it did nothing else, what it was trying to do was create transparency.
Mm.
So it was about creating greater transparency and greater accountability. Because if you want religious freedom, then we want you to have... accountability.
Correct.
At the moment, they can just, if they want, they can put in a document saying, well, we kind of took this much money and we spent this much money, and there is no fiduciary duties on religious organisations.
While we're talking about integrity and transparency, you got a best press release
yesterday
for a press release titled, Can We Just Stop Acting Like Dicks?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Now, are you offended by that?
No.
Good.
No.
Because some people said, I had some people on Twitter going, gendered stereotypes. It's like,
oh God, no.
It's a phrase. I find that in Parliament, and I guess it's leading up to the election, that those two monoliths of the two major parties just go into this sort of crocodile battle to the bottom, and they're rolling around, and that doesn't do anything for the community. We don't pass legislation. In fact, last Friday, due to this kind of the political fighting, we didn't pass the family violence bill.
Nothing got done.
Nothing.
Everyone was too busy pointing fingers at each other, blaming each other. And
That's right. So, one side says, you've done the biggest red shirt rorting, or you wear the biggest red shirts, and the other side says, well, you've eaten the biggest red lobster. And what I'm calling for is some form of integrity. And I think actually we just need to make our politicians and make our politics and make our governance and make our parliament more transparent.
Because we lose confidence in it, don't we? I mean, we watch this behaviour on TV.
That's
and
right.
Think, oh my goodness, these people are being paid to govern and they're sitting there carrying on like...
And what will happen is minor parties or protest votes are on the rise, and we'll end up with some idiot like Trump running this country, because we'll all protest and we'll end up with what we'll want, and it'll end up being some idiot redheaded woman from Queensland. I mean, that would really scare me.
Or me.
but I'm happy for you to... I mean, it'd scare you, but, I mean, that's what we'll get. It'll be a protest vote.
It does, and it scares me. And certainly, look, this does move voters away from the major parties, and it does move them to parties like Reason.
Or the Hunters and Fishers parties that get in there under three votes. I mean, this is crazy things getting there.
But when you look at the distrust and the lack of trust people have in their politicians and in their governments, that is disturbing, and it is growing. And the Grattan Institute found that... Really, the sense of trust on our politicians has just been constantly declining. Now, I'm really frightened about that, and that's not why I entered into politics. I entered into politics to work on principles and change policies. and I have tried to stay out of politics. I don't think that that's what the parliament should be there for.
We had news this week that the earth is about to reach a point where we're going to hit a greenhouse or a hothouse effect,
yeah,
and climate change will be runaway. I think there's about 20 years to go before we can have any impact on stopping climate change. And our politicians are still arguing about, suggesting we have new coal-fired generators, and they're arguing about energy between the states.
But when it comes to that, let's just go and talk about yesterday we hit 25 million people, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But that is 33 years ahead of what our parliament. Now, that worried me because I think if you guys in parliament, I'm pointing at you guys, as in federal and state, I know it goes, you're there to find out how many people are going to be in this country 30 years. So infrastructure, schools, hospitals, roads, jobs are there. If you can't get the people right 33 years, what the hell is going wrong? I wonder why we're living in squalor, why we can't get trains and stuck in traffic.
That's exactly right. And it's something that has frustrated me in my short time in Parliament is that lack of forward planning, that lack of 20-year planning. But yet I went to this really – I'm part of a parliamentary group on artificial intelligence because that's the only sort we can get up in there,
but into them.
Yeah, there's lots of jokes about that. But we had this really interesting speaker who was a data scientist from Pricewaterhouse, and he talked about the exponential future. So it's like we're on this J curve, and whether that's data, whether that's clean energy, but whether that's climate change, whether that's population, that some of those things are exponential. Hopefully, I think, you know, population. We will need to address that, and we will need to address that from a global perspective. But, yeah, we're on this exponential change. So we have no idea. We have no idea what 95% of the jobs will be in 10 years' time.
In 10 years, which is really scary to think that the change is going to be that quick. And those are not going to move, which has caught our politicians for only, think, the 4 years.
That's right.
We're gone.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
We're joined by Fiona Patten, leader of the Reason Party. We've been talking all things politics and issues
and
this morning.
And representative for the Northern Region.
Yes.
You have two titles. But let's, Fiona, we're going to add author now to your very long list of resume.
Yes.
So sex, drugs and electoral role. Mm. Tell us all about it. What can we expect from the book?
Well, as these things do, and as I know you know because you've got a book coming out next week, it generally starts after one or two drinks.
Yes, that's funny that happens.
I know, that's right. So I was out in Sydney one night and I ran into an editor at Allen and Unwin and they said, you should write a memoir. And I'm going, no way. Anyway, now we have a book that's coming out at the end of the month. So it talks a lot about the stories of how we came to be the Sex Party and how we came to be Reason. So there's a little bit about my sort of family history and a bit about myself, but I think more it's about when I was a lobbyist for the adult industry and some of the anecdotes from
that
time.
There'll be some great stories in there. There's going to be some good stories.
Well, I think Andrew Denton, which I love his tag on the back, which she says, best use of a zucchini in a political memoir.
And from Andrew Denton, that's pretty good, isn't
right?
it?
Yeah. And Catherine Devaney, I think she said, every time someone buys this book, Fred Nile has a little cry wank.
I was going to say that. Actually, I was going to say, so this is a quote from Catherine. So if there wasn't a reason you wanted to read this book, this quote will make you want to read it. So Fred Nile, for the people in Melbourne that don't go to Sydney, he's a representative in Sydney on the State Parliament. And every year at Mardi Gras, he goes out the front and prays for rain. So he brings his little religious. Also, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence would have always turned up and give him the whole thing at the back. One day, they actually brought him out of hospital in a stretcher so he could go to Mardi Gras to pray
for rain.
So they brought him in his stretcher, then wheeled him back out.
Did it
best Mardi Gras ever.
Did it ever deliver rain?
Every 4 years. I mean,
the poor thing. I mean, he puts out every, he gets elected, he's been in Parliament, I don't know.
How does he keep getting there?
Forever.
Yeah.
Like, his wife was in Parliament as well at one stage. And she mistaken a certain sexual fetish, and instead of calling it the golden, she called it the silver storm.
Oh, wow.
What thing? And she went on in Parliament about silver storms, and everyone's looking at her going, what is she talking about? Why is she so offensive?
So maybe she was talking about her husband's, you know, pubes. Great. That's like, that'd be a silver storm coming at you. Yeah.
If it's silver, I'd be worried.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. I mean, I hope it's an interesting read. Most people who've read it have enjoyed it. It's been it was quite fun to write, and it was quite my partner and I, because we've this has been our journey. So in many ways, it's kind of it's a love story, and it's the fun that we've had along the way of, you know, sex to reason, as it were.
How is the new name Reason Party going?
Look, it's going okay. I think some people keep telling me that it's a bit sensible. You know, but they were probably there were the same people telling me that sex was never going to get me anywhere.
Okay.
I beg to differ.
So, Fiona, how and when can we get a copy of this lovely book?
Well, I believe it will...
Good picture too.
Thank you. Yep. I believe it will be in all good bookstores. I know I'm doing an event at Reddings in Carlton, but I think that most of the bookstores, from what I hear, have ordered it. And I looked at, you know, as you do each morning when you Google yourself, you know, I Googled the book yesterday, and it seems a lot of the online sellers have got it.
So you'll find yours at all good bookstores. Mine's found in the trash.
Yeah.
You'll find mine in the trash out the back.
Yeah, I wish I'd put some cocktail recipes in it. that wrote this book.
Look, it's fantastic. I can't wait to go home and read it. You are my favourite politician. I encourage everybody to follow Fiona on Facebook. And the other one is Pauline Pantsdown, as I said.
Yes.
I would not know what went on in this country if I didn't follow you too.
Yeah. Yes, she is an absolute wealth of information.
Oh, I don't know where she gets it from. And with that humour, she just brings it through.
Yeah. I know.
Fiona, thanks for coming in and chatting to us.
Lovely
this
to see you guys.
We'll see you again soon, I hope.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.